Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we are going to try and do a grand council. I had some technical gaffes last week, still struggling right now with the number. And I'll tell you right now, I think we got one of the guys on the line right now. Do I understand correctly? Do we have Jeff Poore on the line right now?
I am present.
You are indeed. So let me just introduce you appropriately from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poore Show, also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Hey, Jeff Poore, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Good, brother. Hey, listen, my understanding was that Dale was actually waiting for you to patch him in through a conference call. So I guess that's not true.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
All I know is I got you. So let me ask you a question, man. I'm going to go ahead and say we have a quorum for the Grand Council. Let's do it.
Would you like me to patch him in?
If you can patch him in, patch him in. But in the meantime, I'm playing an audio track. Go ahead and hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
But all right. Hey, listen. So this Grand Council thing we do every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I've never seen it jimmied up like it has been last week and this week, but it's what we do because these two guys right now, by the way, Jeff and Dale both are working remotely from the State House, actually down there scarfing up the information and getting things laid on. And so I'm proud to give them whatever leeway they got to have for the technicalities to be worked out. All right. So I see Big Rig over there working the phone right now. Who have I got, brother? Big Rig, tell me what I got.
Yep, Dale and...
Do I have them both? All right, so we got Jeff Poore back, and do I also have...
The number you have dialed has not been recognized.
What in the world is that?
Please try again.
What are you doing to me right now, brother? Do I have Jeff Poore?
You still have me.
Do I have Dale Jackson? I do not. I'm just going with Jeff. Jeff, stay where you are. Don't even move. Just like... Don't lose your signal. Nothing. And the bottom line is, Jeff, you guys are down in Montgomery. I'm going to ask you straight up. Here's my first question. I saw that there was a surprise, like almost a surprise meeting today for Senate tourism, and we thought suddenly a gambling bill was going to come out. You were there today, I believe.
Yes.
Tell me what you know.
Well, so they've been working on it late last night. I believe Gudger was trying to bring it. But they're not there yet, and they worked through the night. Still nothing certain, but my understanding is, just from what I've been told, it's that you have, it's going to be very stripped down with maybe lottery only, and they're going to earmark the money as expected, except maybe they're going to throw in a 65 widening or something like that to be financed by gambling. So I don't know if that's realistic. I think it probably goes and dies in the House. I don't think the Speaker's interested in that. But that is, the Senate is not, what's going to happen, Senator? Senate's not going to take a fall here. They're not going to let the House pass a gambling bill and then have Ledbetter say, well, you know, we did our job. Those guys upstairs just didn't do their job. No, well, they're going to do their job too. Just neither one is going to, I think, get very far.
I would agree with that. What was the one thing you said? Something about throw a 65 what in there? What'd you say?
Widening the interstate 65 between Montgomery and Birmingham.
They're going to throw, I mean, they already got our gas tax for that. So they're going to throw gambling money in at the interstate too, trying to buy votes?
I guess, but it's something, it's a sweetener, if you will.
That is odd and unheard of. But I would suspect that would be DOA. But I also really believe that the only thing that they might pass in the Senate would be a lottery bill. Period. I don't see this gambling bill going anywhere. Do you think the sentiments have changed at all on the broader gambling bill?
No, I'm surprised it did as well in the House as it did. But I keep saying it, and this is just a figure of speech, but all these members did it with a gun pointed at their head.
Yep, that's
exactly
right.
We were told you're going to vote for this or else. And that's fine if you can do it that way, but you better have the votes or it's all for naught. And they didn't have the votes in the Senate. It's all for naught. And I think, like, once the dust clears and people, like, kind of realize that they were forced to vote for, the House of Cards comes falling down. So, I mean, and this is just me speculating here, but, like, talking to members that did walk the plank here, Senator, you voted for this.
Yep.
Your gut was telling you not to do it, but you're being told you better vote for this or your bills will never see the light of day in this chamber again. And you go figure it out. You go figure out how to answer to your constituents. You figure this out. And we're not gonna tolerate this. So you do what you're told, like a good little soldier. And then next thing you know, well, what was this for? Because the Senate said, no, we're not.
Well, here's the thing, man. On any major piece of legislation like that, I mean, look back. The big landmark bills, the House and Senate leadership knew in advance how to work together on something because they had already done the legwork before they got to the session. And so, I mean, for all its warts and blemishes, gas tax, they already knew where they were. When you look at things like the Accountability Act back in 2013, they already knew where they were. The House and the Senate, if they don't already jibe on something, why put your people through that? And that's where we are on this bill right now. What was Ledbetter thinking? Did he really think he had the votes upstairs that he could push something through? Because right now, he's got egg on his face.
Go back to 2017, 2018. And the big breakthrough happened, I think it's between 2018 and 2019. It's somewhere in there. But Del Marsh is the guy who finally gets the Porch Creek Indians and the track owners in a room together. What is it going to take to make each of you happy? Let's just figure it out right now, right here. Let's work on this, and then we'll get it into the Senate, and we'll see what happens. And they got the bill passed. The problem there was, the fundamental flaw was always, did anybody tell Matt McCutcheon in the House of Representatives what y'all had going here?
Yeah.
That was the big flaw, because that's where I went to die. Well, this is what's happened once again. Instead, they tried it through the House. And, you know, Chris Blackshear and Andy Witt, I think, you know, you disagree or agree with the whole idea, the premise of gambling, did a decent job with the architecture of the bill. But they didn't bother to tell the guys in the Senate what they were up to. Every time you would ask a senator what was going on, I was like, well, that's a House thing. I don't know. There's no buy-in from the Senate. So as long as there's no buy-in from the Senate, what's the point, right? And that's always been the problem. So what it's going to take is very difficult to accomplish. But and this is why it's not happened ever in Alabama, despite numerous attempts, is you got to get all the gambling people, and I don't know why they get a seat at the table, but they do, the House and the Senate together and figure that out. And I don't think a big comprehensive one size fits all make everybody happy package.
No,
it's really feasible under those circumstances.
No, and here's the other thing too, Jeff. And I mean, this is like the whole first segment almost here, but I'll be honest with you. The other thing that for any major piece of legislation, not that you have to kowtow or answer to outside entities, but the truth be told, if you know who's going to be out there beating your people up, then maybe you ought to go and try to rally their support first, or at the very least find out what their problems are and try to resolve them in advance. But he didn't do that. He threw his people into a vote in the House. He didn't have the votes in the Senate. Meanwhile, you've got all of the major conservative organizations in the state who conservatives love to have the support of against them, and they know that. And the heat's being brought by every Baptist pastor, Alabama Policy Institute, Eagle Forum, 1819 News, who wrote some great scathing articles. All the way around, the places where Republicans would love to be in good, they would not be in good to vote for this bill. And yet Ledbetter just like didn't even bother to try and get those people on board or try to figure out how he could work with them. He just threw his people in there and said vote.
And a bigger thing here, Senator, I'm a little stunned at how they just steamrolled Alpha. I mean, the farmers in the state, the planters, and they just steamrolled them. And,
yeah.
And I mean, there's like, wow, well, you got a victory there. Congratulations. And, I mean, that's a W. But, I mean, memories may be long here. And it's going to take, you know, feelings are hurt. You're going to need Alpha. Maybe it's an election scenario, or maybe it's getting something else done. Now you got this guy really upset with you. What was that for? Why put the caucus in that sort of situation where you're ostracizing members? Because let's just face it, you look in that chamber, you can look around, and you know who the alpha guy is in the legislature, right, Senator?
Right.
And you know that they're the farmer guy. They're always going to be the guy that's pushing the agriculture policy. That's their expertise. And they just totally just, like, ran over those people. And there's going to be a little bit of a chip on the shoulder now because of that. What is the residual effect of a bill that was just passed as a symbolic gesture?
Hey, here's the last thing I'll say on that, too. The one other thing that it did, too, was it signaled to the broader populace who pay attention, those who pay attention, it signaled that there was nothing more important than this bill. Now, Ledbetter might say, no, I felt like we had to get it out of the way and give the Senate time to work on it. Maybe that was part of his plan. But what it also seemed to signal was that it was more important than school choice. It was more important than tax relief. It was more important than anything else. It was the only thing on the slate, and we couldn't get a special session. So I just made sure it was the most important thing, and we did that first before we did anything else. And that's what it looks like.
Right. Yeah, because it was, in the way I describe it, it's like when you go to Atlanta, you're in a layover, but there's like a storm, and they put everything in a holding pattern. That's what the first 2 weeks of the Alabama legislative session was in the House of Representatives.
Yep.
It was in a holding pattern. That's all they did. And the Senate's upstairs passing bills, working through calendars, even though they have Bobby Singleton and Roger Smitherman filibustering, but the House is just, that was it. It was the very first thing they did this year.
Well, listen, we got to take the first break, man. Me and you coming back, 2 out of 3 for the Grand Council are here. I got a question for you on national politics when we get back, all right? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got 2/3 of the Grand Council, and we will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Back for round 2 of the Grand Council. Now, we've only had 2 out of 3, but I believe we may have picked up a third. So do I actually have Dale Jackson on the line too now? Is that good? All right, so from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show. And oh, by the way, he writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, well, thank you, brother, for overcoming our technological issues and joining us today. Hey, I got to ask you guys a question. So we already talked gambling, so I'm going to jump on some national politics. News broke today around midday. You guys have probably seen it. Mitch McConnell announces that he is finally saying that he will step down later this year from being the Senate minority leader, or at least of being in charge of the leadership caucus in the Senate. Here's my question for you. Is this a power play? Is he trying to gather support and say, I'll step down if you'll vote for, you know, Ukraine funding or whatever? Or is this because he doesn't want to work with Donald Trump, who's very likely going to get elected? What are your thoughts on all this? Dale, you first.
I would think that it has a little bit to do with the fact that he's, you know, 82 years old and wants to go away. I think that's it. But we should still be raising money to build him a gold statue in Sheffield, Alabama.
In Sheffield, Alabama. He is originally from Sheffield, Alabama, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think, man?
I think they said, hey, you had a good run. The people that make the Senate minority leader / majority leader run he had as possible. Which is mostly donors, said, hey, look, it was good. You were good. You really played some masterful chess here, but your time's up. Because he just doesn't have his fastball anymore. And I think they kind of said, hey, thanks, but move on.
Well, I mean, he's definitely been in position way too long. I mean, we're seeing a change now at the RNC with Ronald McDaniel moving out. We got rid of Kevin McCarthy. So all of the Mick problems appear to be resolving themselves through some form of natural attrition, although I suspect somebody in the background was telling him it was time to leave.
Well, I mean, just real quick, let me say something about that. I mean, used to. I mean, you go back through the last several Senate majority leaders, you have a bad election, it's over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're moving on. They're finding a new leader. And maybe that was more of a Democratic Party politics thing. But it was true for the time when the Republicans had it, too, after the 94 takeover. And I was always amazed that, you know, it had these bad election outcomes, and Mitch McConnell always held on.
Well, he did, but then so did Ronald McDaniel. We came through that midterm, and she's chairing the party, and it was nothing like what it was billed to be. In fact, it was really tepid if you get down to it, and yet she hung on until now. I think that there's a final an indication, too, that Trump is the presumptive nominee, and they've decided that they recognize they've been doing everything not to endorse Trump, and they need to step aside. I think that's got to be part of it, just to be honest. All right, Dale, weigh in, man. You got a question for us?
Well, yeah, me and Jeff just did a whole thing on the media down there in Montgomery a couple hours ago, and I thought the questions were pretty interesting. But I'll tell you, the people just do not trust the media. Is this ever going to be able to be repaired, or is the public and the media going to constantly be at war to get with each other and just not like each other?
You first, Jeff.
I think market forces will eventually prevail here, and there will be changes. You know, these media outlets that people don't like are just going to cease to exist, or they'll have to change their stripes. I mean, I just, you know, why do we do this? I mean, yeah, maybe you do want to change the world, but you also got to be able to cover operating expenses. There's just no market for it.
Yeah, and if you look at how many of them have gotten so far afield from actually reporting or sticking with their genre, like, for instance, Sports Illustrated. Next thing you know, Sports Illustrated is putting transgenders on the cover of their swimsuit issue, and, oh, by the way, they just laid off all their staff. So yeah, I think market forces are definitely going to be at play. That's going to be the driving force here. And there's also going to be acquisitions. You're going to have somebody that wants to step in, like Elon Musk, and pick up the noted brand that has gone afield from its original mission and bring it back to where it used to be. I think that's going to be the other market force, not just the consumer, but people who will buy it up and bring it back to its original mission, or let it just die on the vine. Anyway, what are your thoughts about your own question there, Dale?
I think they're all in trouble. I mean, the traditional media has lost all of its support from the people who are not hardcore leftists and everyone else. And they're hated. They're despised. It's pretty wild.
Well, so you guys got to see it all down in Montgomery today. Both of you, safe travels on the way back. And thanks for working out the techs as we moved into Grand Council. All right. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. And Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and also with Yellowhammer News. And just little old me holding down the fort with Big Rig here as we try to make all the tech work. And it's a heck of a thing, man, when people change up their mode and their style. I'll call in. No, I'll patch him in. What are we going to do? The bottom line is we got both our voices for a few minutes at the very least. What do you do? All right, listen, we're going to come right back. And I got a bunch of text messages to catch up on. And then, oh, by the way, assuming we can get into it, I got a section on illegal votes, which is such a good dipper. I got to see whether I can get it in today or not. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.